Mr. Guest.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Unless you want to open a front door for me.
No, I'm afraid not.
But you have me at a loss. You know my name, but who are you?
Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
I was always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually. I really like those sequin shirts.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
This podcast may contain horse language. Listener discretion is advised. Season's greetings, listeners. It is me, Misty Darling, and it is once again time for the pod that rocks your bod, Flick Smacks. This year, we have decided to forego a Christmas-themed episode as we are sure everyone is already oversaturated with Yuletide bullshiz. We're just going to kiss, keep it simple, stupid, regular episode, regular old inflated opinions of two clowns. Now here are your hosts, Scott and Terrence.
Hello, hi there, and welcome to Flick Smacks, the pod that rocks your bod. This is season 5 now, episode 18.
That's correct.
And as always, I'm here with Scott.
Scott, yes,
please
here.
Say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone. I am Scott, and I'm here with Terry. Terry, yes. Say hi to everybody.
Yes, hi, everyone.
Hi.
And it's Christmas time. Christmas is in a week, and we're not doing a Christmas episode right now.
No, we're not. We did a Christmas episode last year, so you can check our archives. In fact, I think I reposted it as a Flashback Friday. I did a repost of our Christmas episode. So,
good morning. How are you?
Yes. I don't know. How are you? No. Oh no.
It's what time is it? 9:30 at night?
9:46, exactly. Yes.
This is usually when the good episodes happen.
It happens. They kind of sometimes go off the rails a little bit.
Ooh, look at the way you're rubbing your hands together. That's a good sign.
I don't know what I'm doing here.
So
what's the theme?
Today's discussion will be our favorite coming of age movies.
I heard a little bit of emphasis on that first word there.
What?
Favorite? Yeah. Yeah. I think that word might have been in italics when you said it.
What?
My goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes.
South Beach bringing the heat.
Yo. People listening have no context for that, of you just singing that.
Well, it's because Buffalo just beat Miami.
Yes.
And we're making fun of the Will Smith song, Miami.
Welcome to Miami.
Yeah.
So, let's do it. What was your personal challenge, and did you get it done?
Well, mine was to watch a movie.
Oh, shit.
Multiple movies, and I did it. I watched a movie with you the other night, as a matter of fact. Yeah. But we'll talk about that later.
Yes.
I watched a few other movies. I watched Christmas Vacation.
Oh.
I watched, what was that one on Netflix with Michael Shannon?
Was that the Pottersville?
Yeah, didn't care for it very much. A few other things, this and that. Yeah, you know.
Okay. My challenge was to watch something from the all-time box office list, and there was pretty slim pickings.
Did you watch a Transformers movie?
I did watch a Transformers movie. Oh, basically, the only things on the list were Transformers movies. There's some Disney animated I haven't seen. There was a Twilight movie. Oh. There was pretty much the Pirates of the Caribbean.
You've never seen those?
I've seen two of them. Some of the Minions movies, the two new Minions movies, plus the Despicable Me 3 and some other stuff, and Croods and other stuff, and yeah, and the Transformers. And so, yeah. But the first one I watched was like, oh shit, I'll jump on that. I watched Aquaman. I'd never seen Aquaman. So I finally got around to watching that.
The James Wan movie?
James Wan. It was okay. I mean, it wasn't terrible. I mean, I've seen worse superhero movies. I've seen a lot worse superhero movies. But yeah,
You've seen better superhero movies.
I've seen many better superhero movies. So it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't anything that went, woo-hoo, you know. Ooh-wee. And then, yes, I watched Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, which was the sequel to the original. So I figured if I was going to watch another one, I might as well watch the next one in line. And that is the one I watched. And it was not good.
No.
It's just, like, there might as well not have been actors most of the time, because it's just all CGI machines. It's like close-up fighting, too, so you can't even tell who's fighting who and what the robots
actually look like. It's a lot of movement going on that screen.
Wow. And then the Transformers are far more complicated in this movie than they are in the actual toys, and they don't need to be. And, yeah, it's just, yeah, it was just nonsense. And there's a part where there's a smaller Decepticon that tries to get at Megan Fox. And so she was able to feed it and throws it into like a metal suitcase. And she is able to get that suitcase onto a plane through, like, as a carry-on. Like, it went through X-ray and nobody flagged it. Like, no one flagged that there's a robot moving in your suitcase. Yeah. So unless I have a similar challenge, I don't think I will be finishing that series. I may watch Bumblebee, but that wasn't one of the top box office draws. So
I may watch Bumblebee Tuna.
Why? Why would you do that?
Excuse me, sir. I can see your balls. Have you never seen Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls?
Like, it's been a long time. It's not something that
shit. I can't believe you didn't get that reference. I'm gonna take these new scissors I bought today and cut my own wiener off.
That'd be a lot like a movie I watched recently.
No, please no.
But it wasn't somebody cutting their own wieners off. It was somebody cutting a bunch of wieners off.
Oh, snap. Is it because the John Wayne Bobbitt story?
No, it was a horror movie called All Through the House. And
people's wieners are getting cut off?
There's a guy who, I guess, was born a boy, but the mom wanted a girl. So she tried to do some sort of home operation on him.
Oh no.
And that person went to a mental home. And then he escaped, and it was going around killing a bunch of people, killing the women, and then chopping off the dicks of the guys with garden shears. And then he was going to bring them home to his mother so she could sew it back on. So he had his pick of the litter of these severed penises that she could sew back onto his body.
It sounds so nice.
It's very festive. You know, that's what he wanted for Christmas.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. Yep. It's the best. Pick the best wiener you can. You like that?
That's wonderful. Yes, I do. I think you should lay down that track.
It's cool.
Yes.
So my challenge is just going to be to watch movies.
Oh, wow.
I don't seem to have time to narrow anything down anymore.
No.
I'm just going to watch until I can get back on track.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to, for myself, watch some Christmas classics. I've been really focused on watching new stuff, so I'm going to watch some stuff I'd seen before, stuff like Elf and whatnot. And
watch Miracle on 34th Street?
Yes. Probably. Yes, definitely.
What's the one with Bing Crosby? White Christmas?
White Christmas? Yeah, I don't think I'm watching White Christmas. It might have also been in Holiday Inn or something. Yeah, it maybe it's called Holiday Inn. I don't remember, but it's something.
Oh.
Bing. Ba-ba-ba-bing.
All right. So, what's your challenge going to be?
That's what I just said. I'm going to watch Christmas movies. I just said
Right. Sorry.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Making sure everybody heard you.
So, as you stated earlier, we did venture out to the theater and we caught a Christmas movie, which I'm going to have to say for me will probably become a perennial watch.
It was good. The story is completely asinine and like non-existent.
Yes.
But David Harbour as a reluctantly badass Santa Claus was very entertaining. John Leguizamo was so bad in this movie that he was good.
Yeah.
He
was hamming it up. Yeah, he was really trying to it was exaggerated acting
to make the only backstory these bad guys had was their childhood that Santa knew about. Mm-hmm. There's no other rhyme or reason why these people were the way they were, but it was good.
Yeah. Yeah, that one scene in the barn when he just starts going off with the sledgehammer, that was really, really fluid action and, pretty gory. And, it was quite enjoyable. Went on for a long time, which was nice.
Yeah.
And then I went and saw another one yesterday. I took my son, Nate.
What'd you see?
We went and saw Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Which one is that one?
That's the one about the jungle cat, and he rescues the baby penguin that's far from home, and they go on an epic journey to try to return him to Antarctica.
Wait, did you just tie in a Spider-Man movie?
Yeah.
Far from home?
Yes.
I have not seen that yet. I'll watch it eventually.
Here's the most amazing thing about the movie. I started watching it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So prime nap time. It's 2 hours and 42 minutes long. I did not fall asleep at all. That might be the longest stretch I've ever stayed awake for at a movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And with the Disney movie, with a Marvel movie, you have to stay for those whole things because there's going to be end credit scenes and whatnot. So, but yeah.
You did it.
I'm the best man. I did it.
What?
So that was our theatrical journey for the last couple weeks or so.
I did not have any other theatrical journeys.
No theatrical journeys. You didn't go to that one with Earl?
No, did not make it out.
Okay.
What?
Okay, let's get on to our theme.
Oh, Kermit the Frog's here now.
Yes. Scott had to step away. So I'm going to fill in for Scott while he's doing whatever he needs to do.
Yay!
Yay!
All right. So now it's time for the list of the week.
The list. Drop that.
Coming of age is defined as the attainment of prominence, respectability, recognition, or maturity. A movie is defined as a recording of moving images that tells a story and that people watch on a screen or television. So this week's list is defined as our favorite coming of age movies. So get ready, because here it is, the list.
That's where I dropped the drop.
Drop the drop.
All right, so I chose favorite coming-of-age movies.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure everybody knows what that means. It's like a turning point, maybe, in a young person's life. Events leading them to grow into being more of an adult.
Or
monkey. Or whatever.
Yes.
So I'll let you start.
Okay. I don't know where to start. Oh my goodness. I'll just start with Superbad.
Superbad is on my list.
Yes. Of course, this is Michael Cera and Jonah Hill as high schoolers that are in desperate need or desperately wanting to get a girlfriend and have some sex before they go off to university. And this is about them and their final night with the final party, and they're going to be supplying the booze for the party and everything that happens along the way. And it is quite entertaining and quite vulgar.
There's lots of comedians in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Comedic actors, sorry.
Yes. Comedic actors.
Also, Christopher Mintz Plasse.
Yes. McLovin.
Plasse is in this. McLovin, yeah.
McLovin.
He gets fake ID. He's Hawaiian.
Yes.
There's a couple cops.
Yes, Seth Rogen, Bill Hader.
Seth Rogen and Bill Hader.
Of course, this was written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, who've written many things. And they wrote this as teenagers.
One of Emma Stone's first movies, too, maybe.
I think it's one kind of her breakout. I believe she was in The Rocker before this.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And everybody remembers The Rocker.
Superbad's a nice coming of age. These kids kind of go from doofus high school losers to doofus college losers.
Sure. Yes.
All right. Let's do it.
Do it to it.
So my first one is a Canadian werewolf movie called Ginger Snaps.
Ooh.
A couple teenage sisters. One of them is bitten by a werewolf. She becomes a werewolf. And they do some growing up real fast. It's with Catherine Isabel. She is the older sister that gets bitten. And it's a horrific werewolf coming of age story set in Toronto.
Okay. Somewhere in Canada.
Or somewhere in the Toronto suburbs.
In GTO. GTA. Greater Toronto Area.
BTO?
Yeah, BTO.
Yeah. Right on.
Okay, my next one is Ghost World with Thora Birch and...
That is a good one.
Scarlett Johansson and Steve Buscemi. And this is about a couple high school outcasts who spend a lot of their time making fun of other people and just getting up to no good. And they have plans on moving in together after high school. But some things happen and they just kind of slowly grow apart. And Thora Birch befriends loner Steve Buscemi and his record collection and stuff like that. And it's a It's pretty nice, pretty quirky kind of film.
I'm not going to lie. I watched that movie for different reasons.
Oh, okay. I don't know what they are. It's for the music, though, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Sadly, that did not make my list, but it is a good one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to follow my first werewolf coming-of-age movie with another coming-of-age werewolf comedy that I loved when I was a kid.
If I know what you're talking about, I loved this as a child as well and saw it at the theater.
The lovely Michael J. Fox, another Canadian.
Another Canadian, yes.
Discovers the family secret during a basketball game where when he's excited, he turns into a werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
And he becomes the king of the school.
Yes.
Kind of the opposite of what werewolves usually become.
Yeah.
And everybody wants the wolf. Everybody wants the wolf. Styles is making wolf shirts, wolfing out. And then by the end of the movie, it's not the wolf, but it's Scott who wins the game.
Well, you know, I do what I can. You know, the team, there was a hole that needed to be filled, and I jumped in there, and I helped win the game. Yeah.
So, yeah. Goddamn Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf. Okay, I'm going to jump to Rushmore.
Oh, Jason Schwartzman?
Jason Schwartzman, and this would be an early Wes Anderson film, and it's about an overachiever in high school who's pretty much part of every single club, even if he's the only member of it, and he
it's not so much a club, is it?
No, just me trying to get another picture in the yearbook. And he befriends Bill Murray, and they kind of have a battle pursuing the same woman, even though she's way too old for Jason Schwartzman and probably too young for Bill Murray. But and it goes about sabotage and whatnot throughout the way, and it's a pretty entertaining film.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
My next one is, it's got a crazy early 80s cast of what would become like the who's who of male actors in Hollywood. The Outsiders by Francis Ford Coppola. Wrote the book? I don't remember.
S.E. Hinton or something like that?
Yeah. Anyways, it's a great movie, actually.
Never seen it.
You've never seen The Outsiders?
I've never seen The Outsiders.
It's really good. There's a lot of cool nicknames in it. There's a lot of cool actors in it.
Pony Boy?
Emilio Estevez is 2-bit.
Okay.
So like 25 cents, I guess that would be.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Macchio, Patrick Swayze, Tom Cruise is...
Rob Lowe.
Excuse me. Rob Lowe is in it. They're all in it.
C. All Thomas Howell. Everyone's
C. Thomas Howell's in it. And it's just, some shit goes down and these kids got to grow up real fast.
Aren't they a bunch of greasers?
Yeah, they're a bunch of greasers.
That's what I thought.
They,
no good greasers.
They fight the Socs. So the Socs would be like the social cool guys.
Okay.
No, the Socs are like the jocks and like the guys that wear like the Letterman jackets and shit.
Right. The David Letterman jackets?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Maybe I'll watch it. It seems like it might be scary though. I might be scared.
I don't think it's as scared.
No? Okay. No. I'm going to go with, oh my goodness. I don't worry about this, and this is probably like a closest you get for a chick flick for guys. And it kind of has a dual coming of age of a young person and an older person. And this would be About a Boy. Of course, it's Hugh Grant needs to grow up. And then it's about the kid, this kid, Nicholas Holt, who's been in tons of things now. You know, he's getting bullied and he kind of blackmails Hugh Grant's character into allowing him to hang out at his house after school. And they both of them kind of form a bond and through each other kind of grow up. And yeah, it's good. It's very funny. Very charming.
Never seen it.
You son of a...
Never seen it.
Based on a Nick Hornsby novel.
Nick Hornsby in The Range?
Yes.
All right.
That's the way it is.
So I threw this one in there because you hate it.
Okay.
Grease.
Sure. Can you have a coming of age movie when everybody in the movie is 30?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's not the age of the actors. It's the age of the kids in the story. And Travolta wasn't 30. Come on, man. If he was 30 in 1978, he'd be like 95 now.
Hey, don't think so. He'd be like 1 year older than my parents. And my parents aren't 85.
Anyways, Grease is a lovely movie. Great soundtrack. Beautiful coming of age. Sandy has to adjust to American life.
She has to change in order to be acceptable to a guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Are we getting woke? Are we getting woke on this episode?
Yeah, that's it.
I seem to have touched a nerve, so I'm just going to leave it at that. What is that face you're making?
I don't know. Okay. There's going to be a common theme with a lot of these coming of age. There's a lot of movies about coming of age where it's just about these teenagers looking to do it. Like there's so I'm gonna go with American Pie. It kind of reinvigorated the kind of
raunchy
teen sex romp type comedies that were huge in the 80s. But yeah, no, it's very entertaining, very funny. Kind of introduced the next generation to Eugene Levy, and that's always a good thing. And spawned 3 official sequels and probably like 5 knockoff sequels. And
there's nothing wrong with American Pie, Alpha House,
or Bandcamp, or
The Naked Mile.
Yes. Yeah, they're all official. And there is talk of them doing another official American.
Really? So, what was the last one? American Reunion?
Yes. Yeah. Which wasn't
And that's
today.
The fourth one, right?
That was the fourth one, yeah. American Pie, American Pie 2, American Wedding, American Reunion. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I enjoy them. They're funny. They're good stuff.
They're beating a dead horse to death.
You are!
Shit. Oh, shit. All right. So let's switch gears to kids that aren't trying to have sex with each other. Mm-hmm. It's the Goonies, everyone.
Oh, as if everyone's not trying to get into what's-her-face's pants.
Who? Which chick?
The Carrie Green, whatever her character's name is.
What's the other actress that's in there?
Martha Plimpton?
Yeah, Martha Plimpton. Yeah, I love Martha Plimpton.
Yes, she's a good actress.
If you haven't seen Goonies, I guess if you're over the... Even your boy's seen Goonies.
Yes, he has a couple times.
So if you haven't seen Goonies, you go to hell. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
basically, it's some kids are trying to save their buddy's house from foreclosure, so they go on this wild treasure hunting adventure, and at first it's like, oh, this treasure doesn't exist, and then we find out the treasure exists, and then the Fratellis get in the way, and then everybody's happy at the end.
And then they exploit a mentally challenged person.
Yes, Sloth.
Yeah.
The late great John Matuszak.
Yeah.
And Josh Brolin is a real badass in this movie.
Well, he wears a headband. He wears a headband, so you know.
But Goonies is not only a great coming of age movie; it's a great movie overall.
Okay. So. I'll let you say that. That's fine.
Okay, that's fine. You let me say it.
I'm going to jump to a horror as well. As you've done a couple horror, I'm going to do a horror.
You're going to do a horror?
I'm going to do a horror right here, and we'll have it recorded. And this will be our first ever visual podcast.
Talking about coming of age.
Oh. This is a movie, a French film entitled Raw, where a girl goes away to university, and she kind of discovers that she might have some cannibalistic tendencies.
Oh,
slowly
snap.
Going. And she eventually learns that this is hereditary, and her parents have been hiding the fact that their mother has been a cannibal for many years, and the father has been feeding that need for her. And it's pretty good, pretty graphic, but it's good stuff.
That's right up your alley.
It is right up my alley. And it's from the same person who made Titane.
Oh, so, snap.
Yes.
All right. So next for me is a urban movie, I guess you could say.
Sure.
Called Menace to Society.
Never seen it.
You've never seen it?
No.
It's like Boys in the Hood, but not as refined, I guess.
Right.
Basically, it's about a guy who's in the gang kind of thing, and he realizes he's got to get out of the gang, but then by that time it's too late and yada, 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 but I loved this movie when I was younger, when I was in my early adulthood. I didn't watch it for a long time, but then I watched it again a little while back, and still holds up.
If you say so. God, I have to watch Outsiders and Menace to Society?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Okay. God. Ruining your life.
I don't want to watch these movies. Okay, let's see. I will go with 16 Candles.
That one did not make my list.
John Hughes.
But I was going to watch that today, actually.
Yeah, John Hughes classic, Molly Ringwald, Anthony Michael Hall.
Ducky? Ducky's
Pretty in Pink,
yeah.
And then John Cryer. He's Farmer Ted, I think is what they call him in this, Anthony Michael Hall. It's about a girl growing up. It's got a crush on a dude. It's her 16th birthday, and her parents are all caught up in her sister's wedding and completely forget about her birthday. And, and it happens. It is completely politically incorrect. There's a character, you could not make this movie today with Long Duk Dong. Pretty much every offensive Asian stereotype you could think of, including the name, is encapsulated in this one character.
Come on, man. Long Duk Dong is totally
a
feasible name.
Yes. But it's very funny. It's pretty I'd say it's pretty raunchy for a John Hughes script. But yeah, it's pretty good.
Old Molly Ringwald.
Yes.
At it Molly, again.
Molly Ringworm.
What?
Molly Ringworm, like cricket.
Next for me is Mean Girls. It's just a really good teenage girl movie. It's exactly what it says. It's a bunch of mean girls or
a bunch of cliques, yeah.
Mean to people, and the new student, Lindsay Lohan, Katie.
Yep.
Infiltrates them on behest of the two losers that are constantly bullied, and it's got a lot of young, nice actresses in it.
Up and comers and stuff like that, yes.
And it's directed by what's her name?
It was written.
Yes.
By.
Yes.
Written Liz by Lemon. Tina Fey. Yes.
Liz Lemon.
Written and co-starring Liz Lemon. And Amy Poehler is in it as well.
And isn't, what's his name in it too?
Tim Meadows?
Yeah, he's a principal.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Yes, I think there's lots of SNL alumnus in it.
And Lacey Chabray.
Yes, a Party of Five fame.
That's right, Scott Wolf.
And
Matthew Fox, two wild dog named actors. Oh, can you believe that shit?
Same show. It's crazy.
Of course, a wolf and a fox.
Oh my goodness! And of course, Mean Girls has another Canadian in Rachel McAdams.
So. Yes.
Yeah. We just have to name drop every Canadian. That's just what we have to do. I'm going to go with a sports one and go with Remember the Titans.
That is a good movie.
One of my favorite football movies. Like Denzel Washington just commands the screen as a new coach brought into a newly desegregated school and is put in as a football coach. And he brings the players together, black and white, and makes them become friends and doesn't allow them to see the differences and forces them to spend time with each other and get to know each other. And yeah, it's a good coming of age and people just getting along and all that stuff. And again, Canadian Ryan Gosling is in this movie. It's a pretty dramatic
There's a lot of football movies you could throw into that.
Yep.
Friday
Lucas.
Night
Lights. Lucas.
No.
Rudy.
Don't say Rudy. That's the Forrest Gump of football movies.
Varsity Blues.
Varsity Blues is good.
Never seen it.
We Are Marshall? I believe Matthew McConaughey's in that one, isn't he?
And Matthew Fox.
Whoa!
Bring it all back
together. Ding, 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 ding. Matthew Fox mentioned within 2 minutes.
Yes.
In two different things.
Okay. Your turn.
All right. You're going to love this one.
Okay.
Turbo Kid.
Oh, nice. I didn't even think about putting that one on here. Awesome.
This some bitch grows up because he gets tangled up in some bad shit in the weirdest post-apocalyptic world you could ever imagine.
Yes. Where they've stuck in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I think it's stuck in the apocalyptic world of 1997. And everything is still 80s with BMX bikes and everything else.
Canadian acting legend Monroe Chambers from Degrassi.
Yes.
Next Generation fame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think there's a few people from Degrassi in that movie, actually.
And also other Canadian legend.
Michael Ironside.
Michael Ironside, come on.
I thought you'd like that one.
Yeah, I appreciate that one. That was good. I didn't think of that one. That was good. This one, I called an audible and added this one to my list, and you will find out why. And you will know why. It's a movie called White Squall. It's based on a true story. It has Jeff Bridges, directed by Ridley Scott. This is about school at sea. A bunch of young boys learning how to work as a team on a sailing vessel while being taught, you know, having school on the ship. And it also stars Scott Wolfe.
Whoa! Holy shit.
Yes. But it's a pretty good movie. I probably would have put it on here if I thought about it, but it's a pretty daunting.
You had me at Young Boys at Sea.
Yes. Like Ryan Phillippe is in it, Jeremy Sisto, John Savage is one of the teachers, Baltazar Getty, Ethan Emery.
I believe Jeremy Sisto was also had a spell on Party of Five at some point. Did he really? Didn't he?
Or are you thinking of 6 Feet Under?
Because he was wasn't he like a boyfriend of?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I never watched 6 Feet Under. Party of Five.
Oh man, it came on like right after the OC for a while. Are you insane?
No, I don't think it did.
Came on after one of my teen melodramas.
Because it wasn't OC because
it was still probably 90210 then.
Probably. Yeah, because I was still living in Victoria when Party of Five was on. Yeah.
Come on, there's no more dramatic pain face. There's nobody does it better than Neve Campbell. That like pained, like I've been hurt so bad look. She's amazing at it.
And I'm looking at Jeremy Sisto's filmography, and he was not.
I'm thinking of something. What was he in?
Like he was in.
I know he was in 6 Feet Under.
Yeah,
he was like Claire's boyfriend for a while. But he was
in no. Something. He was somebody's brother. He wasn't. He was what's her face? Rachel Griffith's brother in the, on the show.
Oh right. Yes. And they had like a weird physical.
He was a painter or whatever. And
yes.
Yeah.
And he was always smoking dope.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember what else he was on.
I don't want, let's dedicate an episode to Jeremy Sisto later.
Okay. We'll do that. Yeah. And not Sisko. We're not going to be talking about Thong Song. It's Jeremy Sisto. Not Jeremy Sisko.
Bumps like a truck. What? Body like what? What? Yeah.
In your butt.
Is it my turn, your turn, or Jeremy Sisto's turn?
I think it's your turn to name a Jeremy Sisto movie you really like. So it's...
I hope this one's on your list.
Okay.
Napoleon Dynamite.
No, it's not. There's
what?
I'm very disappointed that it's not on this list. I have a feeling I missed a huge chunk of movies that I could have put on this list.
If there is a coming of age movie, it is Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
Like that movie came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And like immediately became part of popular culture.
Mm-hmm.
Without really even achieving like mainstream status as a movie.
Oh yeah, it wasn't until like it came on for rental that it did that it picked up any sort of steam. I remember I was working at the video rental. I was working at VHQ at the time. I think we only got like 11 copies on DVD, and it was never in. I was like, people were like, "Oh, give me more copies." Well, no one knew it was going to hit this big, and yeah, it was just always out. Yeah.
It was one of the first screeners I took home from E1.
Mm.
I was living with my brother at the time, and I took this movie home. I'd never heard of it.
Yeah.
Because back then, like, the internet wasn't what it was now. You didn't really, right? And we must have watched this thing 3 times in a row. Like, it's a perfect, like, dumb comedy.
Yeah.
Like the characters are so ridiculous. Like Uncle Rico. Come on. Even he has a coming of age moment.
Like, yes, because he's got to stop living in the past.
Like Kip and LaFonda and...
Yeah.
Just, you know what I'm saying.
And Max mom.
What's his name? Pedro.
Pedro, yep. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. This one's on my list already.
But and I'm the beautiful, thing about Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
Like, you don't really know what happens at the end. Like,
no.
Does he get with Deb? Like, do they become a thing? I guess we'll have to watch the animated series to find out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, my next one is already on my list, but I'm bringing it up for a specific reason. I'm bringing up Clueless, which is...
Yes.
A wonderful
Paul
movie.
Rudd. Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd.
But also, Jeremy Sisto.
Oh, yes.
Played Elton.
God damn. Played Clueless is a good one.
Yeah. Amy Heckerling, written, directed. Had a huge crush on Alicia Silverstone when this movie came out. So funny.
It wasn't because of this movie. It was because of the Aerosmith videos.
Or The Crush with Alicia Silverstone and Carrie Elwes.
Yes.
Yes. There's a coming of age movie for you. But yeah, this is so funny. Such sharp dialogue. Fun. Dan Hedaya steals every scene.
That guy is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, he's that guy where people who aren't really into movies are like, oh, it's that guy again.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's so funny as Cher's father, lawyer father. And yeah, Paul Rudd still looks exactly the same as he does now.
It's incredible.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's a good movie.
Donald Faison,
the late Brittany Murphy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wallace Rolling Shawn. With the homies.
Yeah, great movie.
It did not get on my list. I don't know why. So this one I'm going to save because I'm sure it's like going to be your top one.
I don't have any order of mine right now. I'm just jumping all over the place.
Well, I'll wait until you... Because this is one of your guys.
You don't know.
So I will put a star beside that.
Okay.
So next I'll go with Easy A.
Yes, this is on my list. Yep.
Emma Stone realizes she can get a lot of gift cards and money by
pretending
to be a whore for all these boys she goes to high school with. But it kind of backfires on her. But like, her parents are very supportive no matter what she does.
Oh, and her parents are steal the show. Stanley Tucci and Patricia Clarkson.
They're just like hippies.
Yeah.
What does he say? Oh, there was a phase where I was gay as well. And Emma Stone's just charming in pretty much everything she does.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Lisa Kudrow as the guidance counselor. Yeah,
and Thomas Hayden Church as the guidance counselor or teacher.
Teacher or something. Yeah,
but does sex with Lisa Kudrow's character.
Yeah,
they do
does sex has sexy times.
Sex, very nice. It's just a good.
Yeah, it's good fun.
Kind of under the radar. Under the radar. Kind of dark teen comedy, I guess. Yeah. All right.
My next one is something similar in vein, whatever, about a female protagonist. You seem to be going on with that. Edge of 17. With Hailee Steinfeld and Woody Harrelson, who's just absolutely amazing in this movie. Has some of the funniest dialogue in this, and it's just effortless. A girl who's kind of outside the popular circle, and she has a crush on a guy. I think she's going to be sending him a Facebook message, and it meant to be like a direct message. And she ends up being public, and it's a very explicit message saying what she wants to do to him and she wants him to do to her. And it's about, her reacting to that and just that her best friend is now dating her brother and having to deal with that. And pretty funny movie.
Okay, wait. So we're not talking about the Fleetwood Mac song?
No,
we're not. Okay. I've never seen it, but I'm going to write it down right now.
Yeah, no, very funny. It's good to see just for Woody Harrelson. Yeah.
Oh, anything with Woody Harrelson. Even White Man Can't Jump, I'll watch.
Woo. What about Play It to the Bone?
Is that the boxing one?
Yes.
Maybe.
What about EdTV?
Oh, yeah. I'll watch EdTV all day long.
Obviously, yes.
All right. So next for me is another kind of horror movie. At first, this movie got trashed. I don't know why. It's awesome. Jennifer's Body. Mm-hmm. Great soundtrack. I know Megan Fox isn't exactly the most talented actress, but she was getting roles just because of who she was at the time, and I thought she's pretty good in this.
Yeah, she was decent. Yep.
I can't remember the other actress's name right now.
Amanda Seyfried.
Amanda Seyfried.
Seyfried.
She's awesome too. Basically, a touring satanic band kind of sacrifice Megan Fox, but it backfires and she becomes a demon. Mm-hmm. It's just good fun. Mm-hmm.
True story too, I think.
Yeah, it's based on a true story.
Yeah. I'm going to do one called an Irish film entitled Sing Street. This is from the same writer director who did one of my favorites Once and another one called Begin Again. And this is about a guy who he's get sent to a private school and he has some friends and there's a girl he likes who's a kind of a model and tried to impress her. He tells her that he has a band. And so then he asks her if she can be in a music video they were making. So then he has to quickly put together a band so that they can actually have a song. And so, yeah, it's a ragtag group. Then they start doing music and it's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
It is.
I believe you've recommended this to me.
Probably. Before. Sing Street.
Is that the soundtrack?
Yeah, that was nice. Oh, that's on the soundtrack.
So you wrote the song?
I did write. I wrote all the songs.
So then the next one I'm sure you're going to be a fan of as well. I don't know if it's on your list, but it's something that we saw recently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Pearl.
Pearl is not.
It's a horror movie.
Horror.
And it's a prequel to X.
X.
And it's with the lovely Mia Goth, who is spectacular in this movie.
That she is.
She
won't get any award attention because it's a horror movie.
Yep.
Yep.
But she does fuck a scarecrow.
True, I mean.
But it's coming of age movie. Like she goes from being a psychopath in training to a full on psychopath.
That's true.
She's got to grow up real fast because she murders all her family and stuff.
Everybody around her, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, as one does.
So yeah, Pearl.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to stick with horror. And I'm going to go with It Chapter 1.
Oh.
Because, of course, this is also about the Losers Club. And they all kind of become friends because they all are seeing images of Pennywise. And they have to get together so they can try to defeat him. And this is a very good adaptation of the novel. And I think this might be some of the best group of child actors that have been assembled, because normally I just find child actors annoying, but here they seem very natural and very good. And It's got some good jump scares, and you know, Pennywise is super creepy, and yeah, it's a good Stephen King adaptation.
So I only have four left.
Okay,
but we can talk about more of yours after.
Okay.
So I really only wanted to pick one John Hughes movie because they're all basically coming of age movies. So I did go with Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
It's iconic.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Judd Nelson. It's got Molly Ringwald.
Yep.
It's got assistant principal. I can't remember the actor's name.
Paul Gleason.
It's one of those movies that you can imagine actually happening for real.
Mm-hmm.
Just
even though every character in the detention is an archetype stereotype.
Well, you kind of had to go that way, right?
Yeah.
It's just these fucking guys hate each other at the beginning because they don't know each other, and just like you said, they're all typical stereotypes of high school kids, right? Like, oh, we can't mix with this group. But then they all kind of, you know, become friends and
find out they have more in common than they realize. And
and basically John Bender is wearing fingerless gloves the whole movie, so
it's true. He probably likes boiled goose.
That was the catalyst that made me choose Breakfast Club over 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink, all the other kind of John Hughes.
Did you know that Rick Moranis was originally cast as the custodian, and he grew a thick black beard and wanted to do the whole part with a thick Russian accent?
Really?
And John Hughes was fine with him. Doing his own interpretation of the character, but the producer hated it and fired him from the job and didn't let him do it. So they hired
him. Wow.
Yeah.
What's the principal's name?
Like in real life or into the cast? Like
in
real life?
In the movie.
In the play. In the movie. Because he's Paul Gleason in real life, and his name, Principal Vernon, Richard Vernon.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, let's see. What should I do? Yeah, I'm singing. I'm going to do a movie called Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl.
Okay.
This movie lives with the supporting cast because it's got so many great people, including Nick Offerman and John Barenthal, who isn't playing like a dick in the movie, which is crazy.
It's weird watching Barenthal be a character that's not a complete asshole.
Yes. But it's about a couple friends who, in their spare time, they like making parodies of classic movies that you'd find on like the AFI and all that kind of stuff. And it's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. And they befriend a girl who has cancer and who's been staying at home. And it's all about.
Is she the dying girl?
She is the dying girl. Oh. Yes. And it's pretty moving. Got some good laughs. And I enjoyed it. I saw this at the theater. It was lovely.
You must be very proud of yourself.
I am very proud of myself, yes. I think who else is in it? A sporting actor. I think, Molly Shannon, I believe, is in it as well. Connie Britton. It's a good cast. What's his face? The young kid from Role Models.
Reggie?
Reggie, yes. He's in it as older. Like, he's like plays like someone in his early 20s. Like, he's like plays some guy's older legit brother.
Gas butt, munch, what?
Yeah. No, I will take my pants off.
Me, Earl. Let me write that down.
Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl. It may even be on Disney, because I believe it was Fox.
All right. So next on my list is Stand By Me.
Never heard of it. Stand On Me.
It is maybe the most prototypical of coming-of-age movies, where four friends go on a little foot trip to see Ray Brower's dead body.
Fuck Ray Brower's body. What?
There's a lot of good stuff in this movie. It's probably my favorite Stephen King adaptation. Just the scene where they're telling the story about the pie eating contest. It's great. It's got Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton.
River Phoenix.
The late, great River Phoenix.
Corey Feldman and
Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell.
And Kiefer Sutherland.
And a mean son of a bitch, Kiefer Sutherland.
And John Cusack.
And John Cusack, who's not very believable as a thug.
No, he's an older brother. He's the old, dead older brother.
Oh, yes, right.
Flashbacks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a great, the whole train scene. Doesn't Richard Dreyfuss narrate it or something?
Yeah, he's the older Will Wheaton character, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a great, heartwarming.
I watched this a lot when I was a kid. I watched this
a lot. My buddy Keith, it's one of the only Stand By Me and Bloodsport were the only two VHS movies he had for years.
That's all you need.
We watched the piss out of them.
That's only movies you need.
I still have dreams where I'm in a kumite.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah.
I'm going to go with 10 Things I Hate About You.
Great Joker.
Late, great Heath Ledger, Julia Stiles, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Very, very funny. Again, just the supporting cast with adults is just awesome. Larry Miller and Allison Janney and David Leisure. It's just a good, entertaining film. But a lot of seems very realistic and honest. It's good. David Krumholtz is in it. Gets a penis drawn on his face. That's always fun for everybody. It's good. I think most people
right
know
on.
What it is.
Right on. So this is my second to last one.
Okay.
The other one I've saved because I'm sure it's on your list.
You don't know anything.
This is a movie that took you a long time to watch, and I don't think you were very impressed with it at all. Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
I watched the piss out of this movie for probably when I was 17, 18, whenever it came out, 92, 93. Yeah. Best soundtrack, great young cast. Probably Matthew McConaughey's first recognizable role, I guess. Because I don't think Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Next Generation had been released yet.
I think it had been made, but not.
But it hadn't been released, and I think his notoriety from Dazed and Confused
wasn't Renee Zellweger in Dazed and Confused as well?
Her and Joey Lauren Adams, who I get confused all the time. But I just love it. When I was that age in high school, I drank, I smoked weed, I loved rock and roll, I loved hanging out with my friends. And that's essentially what this movie is. If you watch Yellowstone now, Rip, who's a character in Yellowstone, is Benny in Dazed and Confused. Like, there's a lot of actors that are still working that were in that movie.
Mr. Affleck.
I guess that would have even been before Good Will Hunting. I guess Good Will Hunting would have been a couple years after.
Good Will Hunting was about 97. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Richard Linklater, who's done a shitload of coming of age movies. I guess most of his movies are probably kind of coming of age.
Yeah, everybody wants some Boyhood.
Waking Life, I guess, would be.
School of Rock.
School of Rock, Suburbia. So, yeah, I know you're not a huge fan, but.
Yeah, just couldn't really identify with it. And I just didn't do it. It wasn't you overhyping it. I think it was other people just. People just held it in such high regard, and it just couldn't live up to that for me. I mean, knowing what it is now, maybe I could rewatch it and see it through a different lens. But as a first time viewing, it just it didn't do anything for me. Made me sad.
What about Mila Jovovich?
I don't care. Don't care.
Wow.
Shut your mouth.
What about Rory Cochran?
Shut your mouth.
CSI Miami.
Empire Records. Why isn't that on your list? Empire Records.
Because I forgot about it.
What about Rex Manning Day?
I love Rex Manning Day. I love how Warren Beatty's in that movie, too.
I don't remember that. I think I've only seen it once.
Well, the kid that they catch shoplifting, they say, "What's your name, kid?" He's like, "Warren Beatty." Mm. So then they just... give him a job and start calling him Warren.
Okay. Brendan Sexton III.
Oh, shit.
I believe that is the actor's name. Who say I believe no shares more. Our birthday.
Say no more, money more.
That was amazing.
That was building up.
Okay. All right, I'll do this. I'm not going to do the one that I think you have because you're going to talk about it first.
Oh.
This is another like sci-fi thriller horror with a bunch of young actor cast. Obviously, since we're doing coming of age, and this is Super 8. This was, I believe, this is J.J. Abrams and Spielberg collaboration. And this is... pretty good. These kids making their own movie, and they happen to catch a train wreck in the middle of their footage, and there happens to be some government crate in there that escapes, and it happens to be an alien, and it's a lot of things.
Catch the alien. Let's catch the alien.
You know, people dealing with stuff at home with drunk parents and dead parents and whatnot.
Who hasn't dealt with that?
Yeah, and Kyle Chandler's in it, and he's awesome. And another good one.
It was a good one. I've only seen it once, but I remember it being very good.
Elle Fanning is in it. Yes.
I will just say the next one is Almost Famous. I know it's one of your all-time favorites.
It is. Yes,
would you say it's one of your top five?
I really have to think about it. Maybe top 10, I could probably say for sure. Oh. Top five, maybe. Top 10, for sure.
It's a very good movie.
Excellent movie.
It's very good movie.
It's very nice.
It's very nice.
Autobiographical.
Semi-autobiographical. Cameron Crowe. I think the band is kind of based on a few bands that he kind of toured with.
I think
Zeppelin being one of them, I think. And the Eagles. Allman Brothers.
Yeah,
Eagles, Allman Brothers
and the Eagles, yeah.
Great performances. Kate Hudson is beautiful in this movie. Penny Lane.
Yep.
Patrick Fugit.
Yes. Billy Crudup.
Billy Crudup.
Fucking another late great Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yep.
As Lester Bangs. Yeah. And Frances McDormand is great as well. Anna Paquin.
As the overbearing mother.
Yep. Anna Paquin.
Anna Paquin plays a Band-Aid. Fruza Belk. Yep.
Jason Lee.
Jason Lee.
Jimmy Fallon.
He plays
their tour manager. Yeah, their new manager. Yeah. Rainn Wilson is in it. Yes. I don't even know if he has a part. He's just there holding a long cigarette most of the time.
Yeah. There's just scenes in this movie that are like classic.
Iconic. Yeah. I think the scene that everyone jumps to is the bus scene where they all sing.
Singing along to Elton John.
Tiny Dancer. They've had a big fight.
Tiny Dancer. I thought it was Tony Danza.
Tony Danza. Yeah, they've all had a big fight, and through the power of music, without even saying any words to each other, they all make up by, you know, coming together and singing the song. And yeah,
it's a good scene. See me softly, slowly.
Yes. You touch me, Tony Danza.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza. That's a really good one.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll do my last one, and then, I'll just rattle off a bunch, as per usual, because I always overdo it. I'm going to go with... No, I'm going to do a movie that has somebody in it who you know I don't like, but I'm going to talk about this movie because it is part of an ensemble, so he is more tolerable, and I'm going to go with Dead Poets Society.
Ethan Hawke.
Late, great Robin Williams as a charismatic teacher who doesn't believe in conformity and wants people to break out of their shells and think for themselves. And, well, they couldn't do that in that school, and he gets in trouble, and somebody kills themselves. It's a very, very inspiring. It's where everyone knows Carpe Diem from that movie. And, it's pretty touching and emotional. And
I watched a movie with Robin Williams. Can you guess which one?
What, recently? You watched a recent movie with Robin Williams, or you recently watched? Was it a rewatch?
I watched it today. No, it's a rewatch.
A rewatch. Good Morning Vietnam.
No, more recent.
More recent. Old Dogs.
No.
Insomnia.
Yes.
Was it? Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. After rewatching it, I don't think it's his finest acting. I don't know.
That's not great. No.
He wasn't creepy enough. He should have been more 1 hour photo.
Yeah. That was more creepy. Yeah.
I thought Hilary Swank was pretty good though.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Catt. That's pretty good.
Nikki Catt and Pacino.
Yeah, Pacino.
Pacino.
Thought he was maybe a little overacting in that.
What? You didn't like
I can't sleep because the sun's up all the time. Fuck. Come on. I can't solve murders. I'm going to kill my partner. I don't know if it was by accident or not. Anyways, rattled some movies off.
Okay. A movie called Boy. This is Taika Waititi's first one. That's pretty good. Moonrise Kingdom. There's another Wes Anderson for you.
Oh.
Booksmart. This was Olivia Wilde's first directorial effort.
That's one
with Jonah Hill's sister, Beanie Feinstein.
Beanie Feinstein, yes.
Yes. Academy Award winning film Moonlight was pretty good. Little Miss Sunshine.
Hey now.
I know you don't really care for this one, but I have Juno on my list. I enjoy Juno.
I just can't buy Elliot Page as a pregnant teenage girl anymore. I don't know.
Anymore. Scott Pilgrim.
Oh.
Ferris Bueller's Death.
Never heard of it.
Yep. Heathers.
Hey now.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh. What about Fast and Furious?
I'm not sure that's coming of age.
Oh.
Unless they come out with Fast and Furious Kids. That would be good.
Hmm.
Blockers. That's surprisingly funny.
John Cena.
Bend It Like Beckham.
Oh.
Porky's.
Oh, yes.
The Last American Virgin from the 80s. It's actually a pretty depressing
movie. Who's in that one?
I don't know if it's anybody big is in it.
Oh, I'm thinking of Virgin Suicides.
Yeah, that's Josh Hartnett and Kirsten Dunst, I think.
Yeah, I don't like Josh Hartnett.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan either. Other than 30 Days of Night and Black Hawk Down.
But he's not the best part of Black Hawk Down, though.
No.
Tom Sizemore is the best part.
And then I have a couple foreign films. I have a French New Wave movie from 1959 entitled 400 Blows from auteur Francois Truffaut. And then I have, I think this is from...
That's disqualified.
I think this is from Sweden, this one. It's called Fuck 'Em All or
Fuck 'Em Show All? Me...
Fuck 'Em All. No, just Fuck 'Em All. It's a A-M-A-L, and there's like accent lines above each of the A's that I don't know, but I believe it's...
Amel?
I believe it's a Swedish film. Yes,
it is. Fuck 'Em All.
Swedish film. And it's also called Show Me Love, and it's about two girls that kind of find love. One's kind of a really popular one, and the other one's kind of a, you know, outcast kind of thing, and they kind of find each other and kind of... And it's quite a beautiful movie. I caught it on Showcase one time, and I just couldn't stop watching them.
Like, yeah, you're really probably good. Waiting for the softcore porn to fucking come on.
Oh, that they don't do that anymore. No, but yeah, it's a good movie, and I think that's my whole list. Yeah, that's my list. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So.
That's the list. That's the coming list. Of age list.
Coming of age.
That slipped out.
That slipped out. Coming of age movie. I think that's Kids.
Or Philadelphia.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So time for pick of the pod. Pick of the pod. Pick of the pod.
Hey everybody. Quiet down, please. These two jerks have an opinion. Here is this episode's pick of the pod.
So my pick of the pod is a show that I just recently discovered.
Okay.
It's called Kings of Pain.
Oh, I've been watching this for a couple of years, yeah.
These two idiots. they say it's for science, for... Yep. So they can index pain.
Yes.
These two clowns let all sorts of wild animals, insects, lizards, snakes.
Marine life, yeah.
These two idiots let these creatures bite them or bite sting them.
Sting them, yeah. Prick them, whatever, yeah.
So a friend of mine at work, she's watches this thing every Thursday. And she's like, oh, you got to watch this.
Yeah.
So last night, I found an episode on YouTube where they go to Indonesia.
Oh, this is the one with the centipede and the reticulated python?
Yes.
Yes.
So first, they let the centipede bite them. And
they are...
I'm not going to lie. The centipede
it's creepy.
Gross.
I hate centipedes.
And yeah, the teeth on that motherfucker?
Yeah, the little pincers or whatever.
Wow. Teeth slash legs, apparently. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently this thing's got a nasty little bite. But
yeah.
Then they go catch a snake, a 16-foot reticulated python.
Yeah.
It's not like the snake bite was bad. It was bad.
Yes. Like they were bleeding.
It was not the whole biting and result that I was like shaking my head at. It was that these two idiots put on jock straps before they let the snake bite them. Like the snake's going to go for their dink. Like, what? Okay, you guys are going to let a snake bite you?
Yeah.
But you're worried about the snake going for your dink?
Yeah.
Like, they have those, like, clear face shields that people wore during COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The snake would go right through that thing.
Yeah.
And they have jock straps on. No long sleeves.
Yeah.
They're wearing shorts, whatever.
Yeah.
But they got to put the jock strap on. And then they both check. They both knock on it to check to make sure that it's working.
Like, well, you have to do that. That's a law. If you put on a jock, you have to knock on it.
Like, honestly, I love that animals are biting these two idiots.
Yeah.
I don't care for the guys at all. I think they're both kind of delusional.
Yes.
But, like, some of these, like that, what's that, emperor wasp or emperor ant or some fucking thing that kills tarantulas and eats them and, like.
Yeah, they pick some pretty gnarly animals.
Like, and the thing to me is that these guys are not sleeping in the forest in tents and shit. Like, they have tents set up when they're doing their obligatory interviews or whatever.
Yes.
It's like, you guys are sleeping in hotels. Like, you don't, and I don't care. Like, you're letting wild venomous animals bite you. I don't care where you're sleeping.
Yes.
Like, you win. You're doing good. But, like, when they put those jock straps on, I was like, this is highly entertaining.
Well, they changed it up for season two, because season one, they traveled to all the areas and collected the animals themselves. But as a cost saver and a time saver, they have the animals brought to them for season two. They have them transported to them. There might be a few that are in the States or California, the insects, that they can collect themselves. But otherwise, the animals are transported to them. But I started watching that, like, right from the very first show, and I've been hooked from it.
And when they're out trying to catch that python at night,
on the hippo,
the guy, like, no, that was a different one.
That was a different episode.
The American guy, like, rips his shirt off. It's the middle of the night and he rips his shirt off to catch this snake. Like, what is happening?
It's intimidation. He's like, check out my pythons.
Well, that snake bit the fuck out of him.
Oh, he got that big hematoma or whatever, and that doctor had to kind of squeeze that thing.
Didn't he have to have, like, surgery on his arm or some shit?
Doesn't that doctor give you a Vern Troyer vibe?
Oh, wow. That doctor is something else.
Like, yeah.
What's his name? Dr. Abo? Dr. something?
Something like that. But yeah, no, he reminds me of Vern Troyer. I don't know why he just says.
Like, I thought I'd seen it all on television until I saw these guys putting on jock straps for a snake bite. Like,
maybe it was for the snake's protection. They're afraid that their snakes were trying to go to bite that snake.
I don't think they have a 16-foot reticulated python down their pants.
They might think they do.
Well, the one guy, the American, certainly does.
What, caveman?
Yeah, caveman. I like watched this YouTube video of him after I watched the snake thing.
Yeah.
About a story about how he got bit by a rattlesnake in California and almost died. Everything that the doctors said to him in the hospital, he contradicted them, and he was always right. And
right.
He was more of an expert on medical health than these guys. Yeah. It's like, holy shit, man. Should have wore your jockstrap.
Yeah, no, it's a fun show. It's, yeah, I can't watch some of those bugs. Are just, some of them are just, oh, nasty.
Like the piranha? I was expecting more out of the piranha.
Thing is, I've seen some stories where, like, the piranhas don't
school. They're just like,
like that. They're just whatever. They just walk. You can walk around a school of piranha, and they're not going to just swarm you. That doesn't happen. Yeah.
Anyways, that was my
pick of the plot. I enjoy that show. Yes. I've been watching a lot of documentaries lately, just self-imposed. And I got a couple here that I'll watch that are about people who have passed. Watched one called Love, Lav and Tasha, which is about Anton Yelchin.
Yeah.
And so Antasha is his real Russian name. And about a lot of focus, a lot of his parents. Her parents were like big Russian figure skater stars and stuff like that. But it has like almost everybody who's ever worked with Anton just singing his praises and about everything he's doing, and that he was doing all of his acting, and he's had like cystic fibrosis his whole life. And like his mom didn't even tell him when he was younger that he had it. He went to a therapist to learn breathing exercises, and they just said, oh, it's for health, good health and all that kind of stuff. And like, he would be getting up like 3 hours before call times or whatever, so he could do his breathing exercises once he found out. And so he was doing all this stuff. And then it talks about his death, of how he got pinned against a wall in his driveway because an emergency brake lock malfunctioned like days after they'd been recalled, and yeah, I got pinned. And so yeah, it's tragic, but yeah, it's a pretty good documentary. And then you want to look at the opposite side of things. That's just a silly documentary because it's talking about a very funny man and everyone's just singing his praises as well. I watched the Super Bob Einstein movie. And talked a lot of Super Dave stuff, a lot of Marty Funkhauser stuff. And yeah, it was a really fun documentary. They had, you know, Larry David was in it, Jerry Seinfeld, and, you know, his brother.
What was his Japanese helper's name?
Oh, Mr. Fuji, or Dr. Fuji or something like that. Yes.
Fuji.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a pretty good documentary as well. Very funny. So I picked those two.
That's very nice.
Yes. And so I guess it moves to the new theme.
Let me get a pen so I can write this down.
I'm going to say the theme, and then there's going to be kind of a caveat.
What is the theme?
Based on or inspired by a true story, but okay. I prefer no biopics. All right, so because we've done biopics before, so I figured we just have more of about the story than something else.
So say like 127 hours,
something like that. Yes, it's about the events, not necessarily the person. Yeah.
Episode 19.
19? Season 5, Ep 19. True story. La la la.
No biopic.
No biopic. No picking
no bio. No biopic.
No biopic.
What?
No pics of your bio.
Oh, shit. All right. Cool, man.
I think that's time to wrap up.
Oh, another hour and a half, eh?
Shiza. Yeah. Well, the last one was 2 hours, so we're trimming it down a little bit.
Show me.
Okay. So I guess it's time to sign off. And so this is Scott signing off for FlixMax.
This is Terrence saying goodbye.
So, toodles.